Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
What has God got to do to get your attention in such a way that you believe that you can trust Him, that He's going to take care of you, and that these promises are for real? And when you get out there and you open your mouth and do what He tells you to do, He's going to back you up. He's changed your life. He's changed your eternity.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Tongue Tied. And I want you to turn to Exodus. The first book of the Bible, if you have the Old and New Testament, is Genesis. Then the second one is Exodus. And all these, what we call books of the Bible, are broken up into chapters and verses. And you say, well, everybody knows that. No, they don't. I talked to somebody this week who didn't know that. So, if you find the word Exodus at the top left-hand corner of your page or in the middle, then find the number 4 and a colon in the verse. And that's where we're going to be. Exodus chapter 4. And for the sake of time, I may kind of blow through chapter 3. And then we'll pick up in verse 4. I heard a statistic just about men that 90-something percent of all Christian men never lead anybody to saving faith in Christ, never see anybody saved, never sit down with anybody and share their faith in a way that they see someone go from darkness to light, from death to life, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And it's just not a man thing, it's a woman thing. And one of the great reasons this happens is that we are afraid. We're afraid. But it's not for them so much as it is for us. And we get in these situations and we get all tongue-tied and all turned upside down. And the number one concern that I experience, and I think most people do in these situations, talking about their faith, about Jesus, about what's going on in their life. And it's not that nothing's going on in your life. It's just you think, or we think, that if I articulate this concern, if I say something that might help somebody else, that the second I open my mouth, if I get into it, this person is going to reject not what I'm saying, but me. That I'm going to ask them to believe something that I say I believe, and they're going to reject it. But what we do is we think they're rejecting me. And we say, well, I can't do that. I can't speak. And it's all about what I can't do instead of saying, God, what can you do through me? Now, just to recap this in Exodus chapter 3, if you know anything about the Bible or watched any movies about the Bible at all, usually this one gets included. Moses is on a mountain out in the wilderness, and he sees a burning bush, this angel, which people, some believe is Jesus in this bush, speaking to him. It's the voice of God speaking to Moses. And God says to Moses in chapter 3, Moses looks at this bush, he realizes it's God. God says, take your shoes off your feet, you're standing on holy ground. And then in verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivitites, and the Jebusites. So he goes on and speaks to Moses, and he says, Moses, here's the deal. I have seen everybody in Egypt, all my people in Egypt. They're under oppression. They're in slavery and bondage. I've seen what's going on. They've been praying and crying out to me, and I'm coming to do something about it. And I've picked you to do something about it. I'm going to send you as a messenger. I've called you out to go and deliver this message and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and you're it. And he promises all through chapter 3. He says, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to go speak to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to do this, and you're going to say this. And God unfolds this whole deal. Verse 13 of chapter 3. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, well, what's his name? What will I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am, or I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So he tells Moses, I'm sending you. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what you do. Here's what you say. It's going to be fine. I'll be with you. Trust me, basically. Now, if you read the Bible at all, and I keep encouraging this, if you read the Bible, you're going to discover that this book is filled with promises. It's filled with God saying, I will do this. You do this, I will do this. But some places he doesn't have conditions. He says, this is who I am. I'm a provider, I'm a sustainer, I'm a supplier, I'm protection, I'm all these things. This is just who I am. My very nature is to do and be these things. I will take care of you. And if you read this stuff enough, you're going to see who he is, what he's about, what he wants to do in your life and through your life, and you have the facts. They're right here. Moses had the information, but look what happens in chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses, guys, 40 years in Egypt, trained under Pharaoh. Now he's been 40 years out in the wilderness, God making him and breaking him and praying him to go back and be a deliverer. You'd think by now this guy would get it and know what to do. But look at chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said to God, well, and you can almost hear him saying, well, okay, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. What if I go do everything you're telling me to do, and I tell them the I Am sent me, I use your name and everything, but what if? Now he gets all tongue-tied. What if this? What if, what if? See, God says, do this. I'm with you. Here's a promise. Here's a plan. It's going to happen. Trust me. And then the devil says, but what if? What if God doesn't come through? What if you get out there where he tells you to go and do what he tells you to do, and God doesn't come through? What if that happens? So Moses says, well, what if they don't believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say, now he's even rehearsing what might happen. What if they say, well, the Lord's not appeared to you? You ever have God tell you to do something and you tell somebody that God's told you to do something and you're going to go do it? And they say, well, how do you know that was God? How do you know you didn't make that up? Now, I'll tell you one don't use. Men or women, do not use this on another man or woman if you're not married. God told me you're the one. If God told you somebody else is the one, you keep that to yourself till God tells them they're the one. You want to run somebody off in about 13 seconds, you just tell them, God told me you're the one for me. Because if God told them, he's going to tell the other one, and you're both going to agree, and you're going to end up married probably. So be careful throwing this stuff out. God told me, God spoke to me stuff. Now, I've had God speak things in my heart, but I watch for some confirmation in a lot of areas. Well, Moses had heard from God, heard a voice, saw a burning bush. He doesn't get better than this. So he says, what if they say the Lord has not appeared to you? So the Lord said to him, well, what's that in your hand? He said, well, it's a rod. It was his staff that he protected and led sheep with. And he said, well, throw it on the ground, Moses. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses took off running from his own rod that had become a snake. He takes off running. The Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, there's only one person I know that does this, and it's a guy on some, the crocodile man on cable. I don't know what his name is, but he's always picking up some snake. And it's a snake when he looks at it, it's a snake when he grabs it, but it never turns into anything else. The Lord says, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, that'll get your attention. There's nobody but God talking and Moses out there and this stuff going on. And he said that they may believe that the Lord God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. So he said, use your rod, throw it down, do this. That'll get their attention. Verse 6, furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom, put your hand inside your clothing. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. His hand had turned leprous, had leprosy. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his clothes and drew it out, and behold, he was restored like his other flesh. He was healed immediately. Then it will be, God said, if they do not believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And if they don't believe either one of these, or listen to your voice, then you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. I'm giving you three things. A rod you throw down, it becomes a snake. Put your hand in your clothes, it goes in clean, comes out with leprosy, goes in with leprosy, comes out clean. And if they don't believe you then, get water out of the Nile, pour it on the ground. When it hits the ground, it'll turn to blood. If they don't believe that, there's nothing else going to get their attention. Verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, now guys, I'm asking you questions as we go through this. What do you want? What has God got to do to get your attention in such a way that you believe that you can trust Him, that He's going to take care of you, and that these promises are for real, and when you get out there and you open your mouth and do what He tells you to do, He's going to back you up? He's changed your life. He's changed your eternity. We are so blessed. You sin nowadays as a Christian, you don't have to go buy some cow or take a sheep down somewhere or grain or birds or deal to the temple and have all this sacrificial stuff. You can stop wherever you are, whenever you sin, and say, God, I confess I have sinned. I am wrong. You are right. I claim the forgiveness that Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead to provide me. And I'm telling you, I want to be forgiven and clean. Buddy, you can go from sin to pure as the wool and the snow. Just like that. God takes care of you. He feeds you. He provides a place to live, a job. He gives you health, all these things. And we say, but God, but what if? What am I going to say? So God gives him even more confirmation. And here goes Moses again. Then Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I can't do it. This is Moses saying to God, after he's told him the whole deal, here are these miraculous signs I'm going to give to you so they'll know it's me. And he says, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. Before you talk to me and after you talk to me, it's pretty obvious, God, you can hear I'm not eloquent. And I speak slow and I just can't do this. Now, let me ask you a question. What is your excuse? I know most of the people in this room. A lot of you. And the ones I know and know pretty well, you know what? God has changed your life in a dramatic way. And it's not that you don't have something to talk about. It's not that you don't have a story to tell. It's not that God hasn't promised you some things and delivered on them. It's not that God isn't taking care of you. It's not that God hasn't done miraculous things in you and through you. It's just when it gets right down to it and He says, Now, speak. You freeze up. You say, Oh Lord, use somebody else, not me. I speak slow. I'm not eloquent. I am so grateful that there's a guy like Moses in the Bible, even though he's being belligerent and not doing what God tells him to do, at least he's honest. And there's lots more people who can identify with this guy than somebody that just pops off and speaks at the drop of a hat. He says, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongues. Verse 11. So the Lord said to him, now listen, guys, read this with me. Look down there in verse 11. Look what God says to Moses. Who has made man's mouth? Moses, who made your mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Moses, how do you think anybody talks? Where'd you get your mouth? Where'd you get your ears? Where'd you get your eyes? Where'd you get anything? I gave you everything you are that you've got, Moses. Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Now guys, I'm telling you something. The only thing keeping the lid on this church, anybody, is you when you get out there during the week. It's not about Sunday. This is the huddle where we get regrouped, get revived, re-encouraged, whatever you get when you come, and you go out there, and I'm telling you this afternoon, tomorrow, somewhere along the way, you will get to a boiling point. You'll get in a situation in a conversation, your heart will start to race. The person across from you, every indicator is that they're searching. They're the one that needs to be delivered. They're the ones that are in bondage. They're the one that's in pain and can't get out and they don't know what to do. And God says, Now go. I will be with your mouth. I'll be with your mind. I'm with you. Just take the lid off and let it rip. And you say, Well, God, I can't do it. And you back down, you feel bad, you walk away, you know the person's still sucking air and in pain, and you don't know what to do about it. You think, why didn't I just say something? I'm telling you guys, I'm encouraging you, whether it's here, Liberia, wherever you find yourself, on a business trip, on a plane, anywhere, I don't say do this randomly, you will know when it's time to speak. And no matter how tongue-tied you have been or you are, you say, God, enough is enough, and I don't know how this is coming out. If you follow me around very long, you'll find something. And it doesn't make everybody comfortable. A lot of things I do don't make everybody comfortable. But anyhow, if somebody sits down with me and they pray and receive the gift of eternal life, and some of you in this room have been in this situation with me, and I explain to you, we talk about it, you pray and receive the gift of eternal life, ask Christ to come live in and through you, one of the first things I will do is try to find somebody immediately and say, you know what, I want you to tell them what happened to you. Some of you have never told anybody when you became a Christian and what happened and how your life changed. And I'm going to tell you what, if you speak those words one time, there is something that unleashes. It's like, you know what? I said it. I can't say all of it. I can't elaborate very much. I'm not very eloquent, but I can get out this much. Well, I found out today that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to pay my way into heaven, and I asked Him to come live in my life and forgive me and change me, and that's what I did. Can you say that? If you can say that, you can do what God's asking Moses to do here. Just speak. I'll tell you what to say. You can say it here. You can say it anywhere on the planet. Look at verse 12. Again, now therefore go. He says, Moses, just go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. There are situations, guys, that you're going to get in you could no more plan or prepare for in a million years. And if you will be still and know that He's God and listen, I'm telling you, you will have things come out of your mouth and be put in your mind you've never thought ever. I have this happen all the time. I couldn't take credit for anything I thought or said because it came out of nowhere. Not nowhere. It came out of somewhere. It came out of heaven. It came out of God's heart and mind. And there are things, if you'll get out of the way and stop being anxious and stop being preoccupied and concerned about what they're going to think about you and be more concerned about them and what God thinks about them and what they think about God, it'll just come. It'll just happen. It'll just flow. And God, when your mind is released and attentive and focused on Him, He'll start saying, okay, say this, say that. You say, why would I say that? Just say it. And I have conversations with people, get into the gospel, use an illustration, and somebody will tell me 2 days later, say, you know what? I couldn't believe you said that, because when you said that, that was going on with my mom and dad or me, and that had happened to me when I was a kid. And how did you know that? I said, I didn't know any of that. But God knows this stuff, and He will reveal these things to you and use these things as you're speaking. But it starts when you open your mouth and when you say, okay, God, use me. I trust you. You're going to tell me what to say. Use me. Verse 13, but He said, now God keeps coming. The guys, He keeps coming. Moses, here's the promise. Here's the miracles. Here's everything you need. Well, what if this? Okay, Moses, if that happens, then this. Well, what if this? Well, this. I'm going to tell you what, guys. And I don't know where this happens in your life or in anybody's life, but there comes a point where you mess with God too long, He'll take another road. You say, well, what do you mean? Moses kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing and saying, what if, what if, what if God figures something else out? And look what happens, verse 13. But he said, oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. God, here I am, send somebody else. I'm not your man. Don't send me. Verse 14, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, all right, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. I'm going to tell you what, guys, you don't need somebody else to speak through. God wants to speak to you and through you and bypass any and everybody else and go straight to the source or the person that needs to hear this. And where Moses messed up is now for the rest of his ministry, Moses had to have Aaron with him all the time because Moses said, well, I can't speak. So God said, okay, I'll speak to you, Moses. Now you're going to have to tell Aaron, relay it to Aaron, and Aaron's going to have to relay it to the people because Aaron's willing and you're not. Verse 17. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. And if you go on and read verse 18 to follow, he says, so Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father. He tells his father-in-law, I'm out of here. I've got to go back and deliver my people. Now here's the challenge for today and this week, guys. It's pretty simple. And I've given you some of the indicators already. When you get out there, you have a story to tell. You have a promise that He'll be with your mouth, that He'll tell you exactly what to say, exactly what to do. When you get out there and your heart starts to race and the Holy Spirit says, now, go, do it, speak, say it. For God's sake, for your sake, and especially for their sake, open your mouth and just say it. And if all you can get out is one phrase, then shut up and go to the next thing. If you can get two phrases out, say what God tells you to say and be quiet and leave it at that. But be willing, be obedient, and spit it out. God will bless it. He'll honor it. He'll use it. It works. And you say, well, why are you so emphatic about this? Because if it's up to me or a handful of people to go out there doing all the saying, we'll never take the planet. If everybody in this room obeyed God this week and got out there, and when you had the opportunity, one day, every day, whenever it is, you just started lifting the lid off, open your mouth, and let God speak, there is no telling what would happen in this room 1 week from now. Because you'd be amazed how many people are around you every day at work, at home, your family, who are just praying and waiting for someone to say something, to share something, to say, you know what, my life's been changed, yours can be changed as well. I had a conversation on the phone this week, and in this conversation, I asked a few questions. The person called up and said, I want to be baptized. And you know what? We don't baptize anybody unless we know why we're baptizing you. There's no reason to get wet. So I started asking some questions, and I said, well, tell me, how long have you been a Christian? And this person said, all my life. You know what? That's not possible. You're born physically. The Bible says you have to be born again spiritually. That's two separate events. You can't be born physically and spiritually at the same time. It can't be all your life. So I began to what? Open my mouth and ask some questions and explain to her that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead to give her eternal life. It was an event. It was a time and place, a transaction with God. And you know what? On the phone, this person and I prayed and she accepted the gift of eternal life. Now she's going to be baptized. You know why? Because somebody opened their mouth. Said, well, you know what to say. Don't use that. Moses tried that. It's not about what I know how to say. It's about who God is and what He wants to say, and reading His Word, finding out what it says, and saying, God, now use Your Word that I've hidden in my heart or that I'm studying to relay this truth and this message to someone else around me and see their life change wherever I am, wherever I go, and not be so focused on being tongue-tied. I'm going to tell you what, guys, you don't need somebody else to speak through. God wants to speak to you and through you, but it starts when you open your mouth and when you say, okay, God, use me. I trust you. You're going to tell me what to say. Use me the way you want to do.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word, for real people like Moses and real people that listen to this message today who are terrified, who are afraid that someone's going to reject them or make fun of them or they won't be eloquent, they won't know what to say or how to say it. Father, help us get out of the way and realize that we are just clay pots that haul the water. That it is not about us, that you are the water and you live in and through us, and it's you that these people need, Lord. It's your voice they need to hear. It's your words that they need spoken, not ours anyway. And I pray that this day, this night, this week, wherever we are, in this country or beyond, Lord, that we would just be still, know that you're God, and let you take over our hearts, our minds, our lives in such a way that we are yielded to you, that you are the Lord, the boss of our lives. And that given the opportunity, Lord, we're going to tell somebody, we're going to share, we're going to give a reason for the hope that's within us when people ask and when you give us the opportunity, Lord. I thank you, God, that we have something to talk about. We have someone to talk about. That when our lives get so full and begin to overflow, that it's uncontainable, that we cannot help but share, Lord, who you are and what you've done and how grateful we are. And for those, Lord, that's not the case, they want that kind of relationship. They want to have something to live for, to die for, to talk about. I pray today, Father, if they understand that Jesus died for them, was buried and raised from the dead, he lived a perfect life to do it, and he paid the ultimate price on the cross by shedding his blood so they could be free from sin, receive the forgiveness of sin, and have a new life, a new eternity. I pray today that they just pray a simple prayer as this girl did this week. God, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to purchase a place for me in heaven that he offers as a free gift. And right now I receive that gift of eternal life, and I claim and receive the forgiveness of my sins, and I ask you to come live in me and through me to change my forever and my here and now, my life between here and heaven. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me and for coming to live in me and through me. Use me, I pray, to bring honor and glory to your name. And we pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.